Hi, it's Nate Leslie here, and today at the West Coast Hockey Prep Camp, we are with Coach Gary Heenan of Utica College. Gary, you've been 14 years at Utica, and before that at Hamilton College, your alma mater, and before that, Brockport, and before that as a pro player. Utica is in the ECAC West Division III, lots of acronyms for some coaches and listeners who may not know, to be honest, a lot about the process and the levels and the divisions. And so this is an opportunity to share a little bit about that program, but also about kind of how it all works.
Yeah, I mean, it's I think there's a lot of people that don't understand what Division III is. And for all intents and purposes, there's no longer a Division II. There's a handful of Division II schools that compete against the Division IIIs. They actually play Division III schedules. So it's Division I, and then following that, it goes right to D3. There's approximately 55 Division I schools and approximately 75 Division III schools. So spots are very limited to play NCAA college hockey, and very competitive. So Utica College, we've existed for 14 years in the ECAC West. There's only six teams in our division. Manhattanville, Elmira, Newman, Hobart, and Nazareth College. Head-to-toe competitive teams that could all go to the national tournament any given year. We all carry approximately 28 players, we play 15 conference games and then 10 or 11 non-conference games plus playoffs. All very good Division III teams, I'd say the top 30, 40 teams, certainly recruit internationally. So we mirror Division I's in terms of we'll be at the BC Showcase, the Alberta Showcase, the Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and Ontario. Traditional markets for us outside of those has been the NHL, North American Hockey League, the Eastern Hockey League, the USPHL. We've done a little bit of prep work as well, we're a small private school, 3,000 kids. That's kind of the makeup of the teams in our league. We're all small private schools.
Can I jump in there?
Sure.
I spent some time on the Northeast and understand the academic standards of a lot of the schools on the Northeast Coast and way out here in Western Canada, that is a bit foreign territory. Can you just speak a little bit about, we say D3 in terms of athletics, but oftentimes the schools have very high academic standards and the education is great and the colleges have been there for many, many, many years. Can you just touch on that?
Yeah, and it probably lean on my background at Hamilton College more for that answer. As a player there, you know, you're at a college that's over 200 years old. The endowments at these places are $1 billion. Very, very small. There's only 1,600 students at Hamilton, you know, when I went there. And classroom sizes are extremely small, more of a prep school atmosphere at a lot of Division III schools most. So, you know, at Utica College, we're officially 11 students to every faculty member.
Yeah.
So you're not going to find yourself in Division III schools in a auditorium with 500 kids. You're not going to be taking courses on local cable television. You're going to be roundtable discussion type in most of your classes.
Yeah, okay. And can you explain, there are some standard protocols in terms of the word scholarship up here in Canada is thrown around probably a little bit too loosely, but typically the model in those schools is more financial assistance in terms of pay what your family can afford you to pay, correct?
I think there's a broad range on the creativity of those financial aid packages. I think one of the biggest myths out there is that Division IIIs cannot give you scholarships. We just call them grants. You know, we're not allowed to call them athletic scholarships, and we're going to base those grants on, yes, family need coupled with academic merit money. So if you want to think in relative terms, it is the exact same process that all your Ivy League schools in Division I,
right.
They're going to give you money based on those two things, merit scholarships and family need assistance.
You mentioned how old some of the schools are and the character. Can you talk about the value of the alma mater and the alumni and how that college experience can help you down the road in the rest of your life?
Yeah, I think the U.S. schools do a tremendous job at taking care of their own, and that's kind of the culture at all these schools. So when you graduate from a small private school in the United States, you're going to have alumni looking to hire you.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of guys that take advantage of those contacts and connections, and the guys that have done very well in life that have graduated before you are looking for hockey players. You know, they see the value in the competitiveness, the leadership, the character that it takes to be able to balance an intercollegiate athletic schedule coupled with a very challenging education. So guys have done very well in terms of exercising their options in the real world and have foregone playing pro hockey because the job offer is just so good.
Yeah. Let's say I'm a BC Hockey League or Alberta Hockey League or Saskatchewan Junior League player. I'm a solid Junior A player and I want to play at Utica College. Besides sitting and waiting for you to come to me, is there anything that I can do to market myself and for you to take my emails and calls seriously?
Yeah, I think, we want the shortest email possible. The calls have kind of gone by the wayside. We don't want to hear from a parent. We're recruiting 19, 20-year-olds, and we'd like to hear from the young man who's making those decisions for himself. And, outside of that, if you're going to shoot us an email, you need a hook in the first 3 to 5 lines of that email for us to continue. You know, I don't think video is of huge value anymore. We're all getting out there. We're going to find the better players. We do our work. We're following stats all the time. Saying that, if you know somebody who knows somebody in Utica College, if there's a legacy or, you just need a hook to gain our attention.
Okay, let's talk about that hook for a second. Let's say I mention my marks, I mention where I play, I've maybe taken an interest and done some research on your school rather than you can tell if it's a blanket email that I've sent it to 50 schools, but if I've researched that Utica College has a program that I really like and I've done some research, that seems to me, I tell kids to do that, and maybe I'm wrong, but does something like that catch your eye? Someone that's taken honest interest in your program?
Yeah, there's no question. I think if you've taken the time to say, I want to come to Utica College because your cybersecurity program is top-notch, it's cutting-edge, ranked 1, 2, 3 in the nation, and right away I know you're serious about it. So it's not, the blanket emails are brutal. We receive the ones that are addressed to another coach because they press send before they've edited it. So,
yeah.
Again, you've got those first 3, 4 lines to impress us for us to continue reading.
Yeah. When you started 14 years ago, probably far fewer parents contacted you then than they do now. I think that's one generation of kid ago. You mentioned, it caught my attention, that you want to hear from the kid, not the player. We all know as coaches that one of our biggest challenges is parents. Probably our listeners would agree. Just a comment on kids taking that initiative and college is no longer minor hockey. Any thoughts on just without ripping on anybody, just sort of that level of expectation that you guys have for parents, either of recruits or parents in your program?
Yeah, there's zero interaction with a parent at the collegiate level. I mean, there's just none. In the recruiting process, there's a lot.
Right.
We certainly feel that it's a family decision, and we want everybody to buy in, and we want to get to know the parent because certainly we feel the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, and we want to make sure we're getting a character kid and a guy who buys in, is committed, etc. But beyond, as soon as he is on campus, unless there's a serious injury or there's a serious academic issue, there really is zero interaction. We're dealing with a young man. We want to deal with a young man. We think that he should be able to stand on his 2 feet and make decisions and represent himself well in a player-coach meeting. So, I think that's the way it goes. In the recruiting process, do we still get calls from parents in the office? Yeah, we do. Are we polite about it? There's no question about it. But we probably end that conversation with, we've given you a couple next steps. Let's have your young man, make those next steps, given our advice.
Yeah, great. You played at D3 at Hamilton and then played some pro in Europe and then started your coaching career. There's a lot of junior players whose egos tell them that D1 is the only route to go. The truth is, there's a lot of guys that go to D1 and may end up the 20th forward on the team or the 15th D-man or however big the roster sizes are. Can you touch on your own experience from a hockey perspective? We've talked about the college side. And the value that it's really important for a player to find a place where he can play and contribute to the team and be a part of it?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's few of us certainly that are fortunate enough to be a true NHL prospect. And I think if you're not one of those guys and we're mature enough to know I'm not going to the National Hockey League, what do you really want to get out of the next step in your life following junior hockey? And to me, it's a great education, and it's having fun playing hockey, you know. And so what's a great fit for you? You know, in our circumstance, you're going to play in front of 3,600 fans every night. You're going to win hockey games. You're going to have fun. You're going to do it getting a great education so that after 4 years, you can play some pro hockey. There's no question about it. We've got a number of guys in the East Coast Hockey League, Southern Pro Hockey League, sent them over to Europe, et cetera. But a lot of guys have turned down those opportunities because they've got a great job offered by J.P. Morgan, et cetera. So, you know, D3 hockey, it's a great opportunity. There's very limited spots. It's extremely competitive. We've got a number of guys every year transfer from Division 1 to Division 3 for any number of opportunities. So, you know, I think if you're looking at a top 10 team in Division 3, they're loaded with Division 1 talent, guys that have just slipped through the cracks or didn't work out in their previous situation. I would urge everyone listening to go watch a Division 3 hockey game. I think you'd be pleasantly surprised at how high the caliber is.
Yeah, that's a perfect ending.
Perfect.
Gary, thanks so much for joining us here at the West Coast Hockey Prep Camp. And as I told you at lunch, you're welcome back anytime.
Hey, thanks for having me.